forgot the microphone. Hallelujah. I probably won't need it, but for the CD's sake, I probably should grab it. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are glad to be here today? Hallelujah. Doesn't it feel good to worship? Amen. Hallelujah. It's good for you. It's good for him. It's good for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. Amen. I'm always excited to be in his presence. I'm always excited to feel the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and when we sing those things, you know, I called a line to our attention a while ago. When we begin to sing those things, we need to think about what we're singing. I mean, we're making a declaration when we're saying those things. Hallelujah. When we sing freedom reigns in this place, how many know we're declaring freedom to some things? Hallelujah. I don't just sing that as a song. I sing it to declare freedom. And those things that come to my mind that are a hindrance or seem like they're struggles or bondage or things that might be causing a delay in my purpose. How many know some things will come to cause a delay in your purpose? Hallelujah. We don't have to stand for that. We don't have to allow that. I just begin to declare and sing the psalms of praise and sing the songs of worship and declare what the word says to my situation. Hallelujah. How many know you don't have to have the answer, but you know what the word says. And as we begin to declare the word to that situation, hallelujah, the scripture says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we underestimate the power that we have in the power of the name of Jesus. If we really believe that darkness trembles at the sound of his name, you ought to go around your house saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Go around your kid's house saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Walk around their car saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, no, it's not just to say his name, but it's understanding the power that is in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because if you don't understand what he did for you on the cross, if you don't understand that you got power in the name of Jesus, you're just doing the Jesus chant. Amen. You can wear a cross around your neck all you want to, but if you don't know what that stands for, amen. You don't understand the power that's in that. It's just a piece of jewelry around your neck. Amen? And I don't believe you got to wear, you know, the jewelry around your neck to have the power. But I believe what it represents should be a reminder of the power that we have in Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And so if we really understand that we are indeed a force to be reckoned with. Hallelujah. We are a force to be reckoned with. That at the power of God that lives and resides in us, Jesus said, if that same spirit, or since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, what? Dwells in you. You have the power of the indwelling Christ in you. And if it dwells, and since it dwells in you, it will quicken and make alive your mortal body. In other words, in your fleshly mortal body, you have power today through Jesus. Amen. Anybody believe that in here today? You have power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when we come together in these assemblies, when we come together in this house, I don't take it lightly. Because as we begin to say the name of Jesus, as we begin to lift our hearts in praise and worship unto him, something's moving, something's changing, something's happening, something's shaking, and it seems a little bit like heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Because something begins to happen at the name of Jesus. Sickness has to flee. Death has to flee. Hallelujah. Obstacles have to flee. You know, we talked last Sunday, and I don't want to re-preach that sermon, but last Sunday we talked a little bit about Peter being in prison. Amen? And there was a young, and the church was praying for him to get out of prison. Hallelujah. But Peter was asleep. I love that. I love that because the scripture said Herod wants to take his head from him. He wants to cut his head off. He's already killed James. What kind of man sleeps in the inner prison with 16 soldiers standing guard? Hallelujah. A man at rest or a man with a promise. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus looked at Peter on the seashore and he said, Peter, when you're old. Hallelujah. How many of Peter wasn't old yet? Hallelujah. I'm going to walk around and start saying to myself, Lisa, you're not old yet. Hallelujah. Lisa, you're not old yet. How many know there's purpose in us? There's a calling of God on our life. Peter's at rest because, number one, Jesus has already spoke on the shore and said, Peter, when you're old, hallelujah, one's going to carry you and one's going to care for you. How many know nobody, that prophecy had not yet come to pass yet for Peter. Hang on, because your prophecies have not totally come to pass. Amen? And God's got purpose in your life. And so, one thing, he's got a word from God that says, Peter, you're going to get old. Number two, he's got the infilling of the Holy Ghost that he got on the day of Pentecost, where he stood up, no longer a coward, no longer hiding out. This is the guy who was hiding out and ran when they asked him if he knew Jesus. Now all of a sudden, he's in a prison house asleep. How many know that's the power of God in you? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And so here he is. He's been, Jesus has already given him a word of prophecy. Number two, he's got the Holy Ghost. He's done stood up on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. By Acts chapter 3, I believe it is, he walks to the gate, beautiful, says to the man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What's Peter got? He's got the Holy Ghost. What do you got today? You got the Holy Ghost. There's some people laid at a gate called Beautiful waiting for somebody to just give me what you got. Give me what you got. Hallelujah. He said, such as I have, give I unto thee. By chapter 5, they've done arrested Peter and put him in jail. But guess what? The same thing happens in chapter 5. Peter, the doors are open. Peter walks out of the prison on his own accord. By the time he gets to Acts chapter 12, he's done been there, done that. Hallelujah. How many know there's a rest that comes when you've already tried it and proved it and know that it works? Hallelujah. How many know you got to know that it works? So Peter's asleep in the prison house, number one. He's already been there, done that. Know God's got his back. Know he's got a promise. Know he's got the power of God residing and living in him. And knowing his church family is backing him up. How many know you need a church family? You need a house to worship in. You need to come together with the saints and feel the presence of God and release the Holy Ghost out of you, because where those streams come out of us, those streams make rivers, and where those rivers make oceans. How many know? And wherever those rivers flow, they're going to bring life. Hallelujah. So he's got a church family that's backing him up in prayer. Hallelujah. And he's got a young maiden named Rhoda at the door watching for him. Hallelujah. We got any Rhodas in here today? She goes back and says, hey, guys, Peter is at the door. And they think that she is mad. What they really mean is they think that she is crazy. How many know sometimes you got to get a little crazy in here? Somebody got to get a little bit crazy. Hallelujah, because the miracle is knocking at the door. Hallelujah. And when we realize that and open the door and receive the very thing that we've been seeking God for is knocking at the door, all we got to do is open the door and receive what God has provided for us. Amen? Hallelujah. And that gives encouragement a little while later in the book of Acts when Paul and Silas is sitting in prison. How many know they're not shook up? They're not afraid. They're not scared. Why? Peter done been there. Done that. Hallelujah. God's already taken him out of that place. What's left to do? Just sing a little bit. How about a little bit of praise and worship in the house? Because when you do, prison bars open. Floors begin to shake. Captives begin to be set free. Hallelujah. And how many know sometimes the jailer's household needs you? Hallelujah. He needs a word from you. Said the jailer and his household are set free. Hallelujah. And God gives deliverance. Let me ask you a question. If he can do it for Peter, if he can do it for Paul and Silas, can he do it for you? Yes. Hallelujah. I see no place in there where it was cut off and said, this is only for the book of Acts or only for the people, only for the disciples. How many know the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you? Whatever you're struggling with today, whatever you have conflict in, whatever is in your life that you think may be bars or obstacles or maybe opposition, God has your back. Amen? Sing to it. Sing to it. Hallelujah. Begin to praise God. Begin to sing to it. Begin to bless the Lord. And you're going to find out that what seemed so big before is nothing for God to do. Amen?
said, Rhoda, shut the door. And then went and told the disciples, why didn't she just say, come on in, Peter. Come on in. But I think it frightened her to see him standing there as well. And I think sometimes the miracle comes to the door. We open the door and see it and then slam the door real quick. But I think what we need to do is just learn to open the door and just say, come on in, miracle. Come on in, whatever I need. You know, I was on pain patches, 75 milligrams morphine. And they did absolutely nothing for me except make me sleep all the time. And I told God 2 weeks ago, this is it. I'm not taking no more pain medicine, not taking no more pain patches. I threw them in the trash. I take some Advil in the morning, some Advil when I go to bed. And my pain level has decreased, and I'm awake. I'm awake. And it's amazing what you can see and what you can hear when you're really awake. A lot of times things clog our minds, put us in a prison that we can't break free from. But I could not see getting addicted to a drug that was not doing me any good. And I said, God, this is it. I'm going to have to trust you. There's nothing on the market that helps me. There's nothing that gives me relief. The only thing I have is God, and that's who I'm trusting in. And I opened my door, and I'm expecting my miracle to come in.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Just because we don't always recognize it doesn't mean it's not knocking. Hallelujah. Amen. God, give God praise for that. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to see it. Amen. We need to see it and receive it and walk in that. Praise God. Amen. Well, I want to start out, I think, Carter, with Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. I want to talk a little bit about baptism. Because we have a baptismal service coming up so that we understand really what baptism is and what it does, who it's available for, and the purpose of baptism and all the different things about baptism. We don't really, it seems as if we don't see a whole lot about baptism until we get to the New Testament. I mean, John the Baptist comes baptizing in the name of the Lord. And he says, but there is one who is coming who is mightier than I, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John baptized with water. He said, but I will baptize, but he will come and he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Matthew 28, you know, we say, well, John came baptizing, but then Jesus came. How many know Jesus was baptized? John said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. Jesus said, oh, no, John, go ahead so that the word might be fulfilled. This is our time. This is our purpose. This is our season. Amen? I mean, Jesus was baptized by John. So if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. Now, that was before the cross. Amen? How many know things changed after the cross? Amen? Things changed after the cross. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, we preach that a lot, Tom, that in our life when we get saved, old things pass away and all things become new. I believe that. I mean, believe that today, that we are not the same person we used to be. We are new creation, new creature in Christ Jesus. I believe that. I mean, no, he's not just talking about what happened to you. He's talking about what happened to the old covenant, what happened to the law, what happened to the things before the cross. Old things passed away. All things become new. Amen. However, Jesus gives the command to the disciples in Matthew chapter 28, and he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus gives the commandment, gives the commission to his disciples, to those who are in attendance, and says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, there is, you know, discussion over how we should baptize. Should we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Should we baptize in the name of Jesus? How many know it really doesn't matter what you say when you go down if you understand why you're doing it? Amen? How many know the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not separate from one another? Amen? and baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ, well, you got that when you got the Father, the Son, and then the Holy Ghost. So when we baptize here, we just cover it all. We say we baptize in you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, I baptize you. I figure that covers any frayed ends there, covers any questions. You're taken care of when you go down. Amen? So it's not what we say over you when we baptize you that makes you baptized. Amen? It is your understanding for the need of baptism and what baptism does for you. And go ahead to verse 20. Is there a verse 20, or is that it? That's probably another one because it's got the dots there at the end. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So if Jesus gives command, how many know it's necessary for baptism? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the end of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How many know there in baptism, he said, teach them the things concerning me, all things that I have to observe, all things that I have commanded you. How many know Jesus gave some commandments to the disciples? Hallelujah, go ye on to all the world and preach the gospel. How many know there's some understanding we need to know in baptism? The greatest observation that we need to understand in baptism is that it is our identity with the work of the cross of Calvary. Amen? When you go down in that water does not wash away your sins. Amen? People say to me sometimes, can you go to heaven if you are not baptized? Or can you be saved if you're not baptized? Well, without going into all of that, here's the deal. The blood of Jesus Christ saves you. His blood is enough. Amen? His blood saves you. Nothing more, nothing less. It is the blood of Jesus. So what's the purpose of baptism? If the blood of Jesus saves us, what is the purpose of baptism? The purpose of baptism is to understand that we have been crucified with Christ, we have been buried with him in baptism, and we have been resurrected with him, a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? We understand that when we go to the river, we go to the pond, we go to the Jordan, we go to the pool, we go to the stream in town, wherever it is you go. I mean, no, we are doing an observation or a symbolic statement where we're saying, this is my funeral service of my old man. Amen? The man I used to be is buried in baptism. And I'm understanding, just as I am buried in that water, that I am resurrected, a new life, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I come up and we say, well, what about if I come back up from there and there's still things in my life? Well, let me just break it to you easy. If they were in your life before you went down, there's a possibility they could be in your life when you come back up. But how many know they have no power over you unless you let them have power over you? Those things are buried in baptism. Now, what happens is we've buried an old man, and we've been resurrected a new man. But how many know that sometimes there's some immaturities in that new man that need to develop? There are some areas in our life that need to develop. So we don't beat ourselves up if we walk away from that place and say, hey, I think I still got some struggles. Don't raise your hand, but anybody ever in here still had some struggles in your life after you were saved and baptized? Hallelujah. And so, but what we understand is there is nothing that we can do in Adam that is more powerful than what God did in Christ at the cross. You need to hear that today. There is nothing that you can do in your own strength, your own might, and your own power, nothing that you have done in Adam, nothing that you have done in sin that is more powerful than what God did in Christ. Hallelujah. I mean, no, his blood is more powerful than any failure, any sin, any complication you have in your life. The blood of Jesus Christ is enough. Hallelujah. And so I think people are fearful sometimes and say, well, I can't come to church because I don't think I can live it. Or I don't think I could be a Christian because I just don't think I can. I don't think I can give this up. I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can measure up. I don't think I. That's the problem. If you could do it, you didn't need a Savior. I got some good news for you today. If you could do it on your own, you did not need a Savior. But I want to tell you today, from the pulpit to the door, every one of us in here today need a Savior. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. I need the blood of Jesus Christ every day in my life. I need His power. I need to identify with His crucifixion so I'm not continually killing myself. Crucifying myself, hanging myself. His hanging was enough for me. Amen? Hallelujah. I hear people say to me, well, the devil's really fighting me. Well, close the door. Quit fighting him. Quit giving him ground in your life. Quit giving him any voice in your life whatsoever. How many know he has no power over you? He was rendered powerless at the cross. Only if he can cause you to think that he has power over you will you give him any sense of power in your life. There is no devil living in my house. Amen. He has no place, no authority, no power in my life. And so we understand that the baptism helps us to identify with everything that Jesus did for us. How many know he took a bruising for me? He took a beating for me. He was by his stripes on his back. I don't have to beat myself. I don't have to afflict myself. I don't have to make myself. I don't have to hang myself. I don't have to do all those things. His power, his resurrection, his life in me is what gives me life. Hallelujah. So when we come up out of baptism, we understand that I have that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that resurrects me up out of that water and causes me to know that I have truly identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's what makes me whole. That's what makes me understand. It's really an open declaration of a funeral service that we could say, dearly beloved, we have come here today to celebrate the death of every man. Amen? How many know at the cross there was a death of every man? And so we've come to sell. It's probably the only funeral service you might want to shout at. Well, I've been a couple of funeral services you might want to shout at. But how many know you can shout there because there's been a death? It's a good thing. Hallelujah. When you come there. Now people will say, can you do sprinkling? Can you do immersion? Can you do it? Does it have to be in, you know, where does it have to be? Does it have to be in the pond? Well, I personally like the good old-fashioned donkey in the river kind of thing. I like that kind of baptism. Amen? If Jesus was baptized in Jordan, that's all right with me. So I like it by the shore. I like it by the bank of the river. I like all of those kind of things. But understand that baptism is a kind of a ceremony. It's an observance. It's an understanding of a cleansing process that's taken care of. So if you have to do it some other way, do it some other way. But if you have opportunity to be immersed, I recommend you be immersed. Amen? If that was good enough for Jesus, because how many know you're being buried in that water? They're laying you down there, covering you up. Hallelujah. So most time when we have a funeral around here, we just don't throw dirt in people's faces or sprinkle them with dirt. We cover them up. Amen. We immerse them. We put them under the ground. Hallelujah. That is what we do in baptism. And so understanding that Jesus gives the commission to baptize those. In other words, he's saying to them, help them identify with what happened at the cross. Help them to understand what was accomplished for them at Calvary. Hallelujah. And so as I was pondering this week and looking up things, I was thinking, Lord, where, you know, John comes baptizing. Where does that come from? You know, we kind of have this empty space here, and then all of a sudden John comes along baptizing, but we don't really hear a whole lot about baptism in the Old Testament. Now, how many know from this, as early as Noah, people were saved by water? Saved by grace, saved in the flood. Moses in the Red Sea. How many know they were saved by water? The New Testament talks about they were baptized into the Red Sea. And I won't be able to get into all that today, but hopefully in the next couple weeks we can get into the baptism. But how many know when the crossing over of Jordan, they were saved through the crossing of the Jordan. They were saved through the passing of the water. They were baptized in the Jordan, the scripture says. And so there's different instances all through the scripture concerning baptism and being saved by water. The scripture I want to go to today, though, I want to go to Kings. If you'll go ahead and bring up 2 Kings for me, Carlin. And this is the scripture of Naaman the leper. How many know Naaman the leper had to go down to the water? Yep. Had to go down to the Jordan. Had to go to, had to be immersed. Had to go to a place of baptism. And it says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was a captain of the host. He was a man of valor. He was a great man, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. You know, I read this portion of scripture last night, and understand that this little maid who makes this proclamation, who makes this statement, is a captive. She is pretty much a prisoner in the house of this mistress and this mighty, valiant Syrian captain named Naaman. But while she's in the house of her captivity, while she's dwelling with them in the house of Naaman, how many know Naaman has leprosy? Now, they say that this young girl was probably about the age of 11 or 12 years old. She's not very old at all. Probably about the age she's about ready to come to youth camp. And she's in the house of Naaman, the Syrian, and she finds out that this guy's got leprosy. And she says to the woman of the house, would to God that my master knew the God of Israel, knew the prophet of the God of Israel, because he could heal him of his leprosy. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes we take lightly or disregard the voice of the young, thinking that they may not know what they're talking about, or knowing, you know, maybe say something that, you know, might be wrong or something like that. But how many know if they never speak, we'll never know what's in them? We'll never know what they have to say. One of the things that I know for sure that the Lord spoke to me this year in camp was to have the youth speak and do the morning services in our service this year. And, our theme in training young Jedis and things like that. And so they stood up and spoke and did a phenomenal job in our services on the morning. We had two speakers. Some of them went for all of 5 minutes. Some of them went longer than that. Some of them had long sermons. Some of them had short sermons. But how many know all of them had something to say? Hallelujah. And so we can be afraid that they might say something wrong, or they might not have a good understanding. But how many know if we never give them voice or opportunity to speak, we're not going to know what's in them. One of the reasons I like to have other people speak, either here or even in Bible study night, I want to know what you're hearing. I want to know what's in you. I want to know if the word is clear. Are we saying it clear? Is it coming across? Do we have an understanding of what we hear and of what we believe? You'd be amazed at the amount of people I run into that really have no understanding of really what they believe. Hallelujah. But this young maiden says to him that, would to God that my master knew the God that was in Israel, that was with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She doesn't say to him, there's a chance that he could get healed if he could just get to the prophet Elisha. She says to him, if this man would get to the man of God, if he could get to the prophet, he would be healed of his leprosy. How many know that's faith? Somehow, somewhere, this young maiden has seen some kind of demonstration of the prophet Elisha to understand, hey, if you'll just get to the man of God, if you will just hear a clear, precise word from an anointed voice, you just might be set free of your leprosy. How many know leprosy a lot of times in the scriptures demonstrates sin or spots or blemishes or something that has affected your body? Hallelujah. How many know sometimes we have spots? How many know sometimes we have some issues in our body? We have some things that we're dealing with. And as mighty as he was and a great man as he was, he's about to be excommunicated from his family and all those around him because he has leprosy. Hallelujah. Verse 4. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Who would bother going and even saying what this little girl had to say if you didn't think there was something to it? He goes in and says, told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. So he goes to the king of Syria, and he tells him this. And so he's going to send him to the king of Israel with presents so that he can get his healing. He's going to send him with 10 talents of silver. Go back to the next last one again, Carlin, if you can. Was it 6,000? It's 10,000. I mean, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he sends that as a gift to the king for Naaman's acceptance there. Verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I a god to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. This is a setup. That's what the king of Israel thinks. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. There is a prophetic voice. There is a declaration in Israel. Send him to me. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. The scripture says Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha with his 10 pieces of silver, his 6,000 pieces of gold, his 10 changes of raiment, and he's at the house of the prophet. He is at the house of God, and he's waiting on his healing. He's waiting to be made free of his spots of leprosy. He is waiting to be made whole. Hallelujah. How many know so many times we come to God and we come with our horses, our chariots, our gold, our silver, our raiment, and all of our credentials on why we should be made whole, and we stand at the door of the house of God waiting on God to move because of what we think we've either given, brought, or whatever clout or credentials we think we have. How many times have you ever heard people pray, and I'm guilty, I've done this before, Lord, they are your servant, Lord, they are faithful, Lord, they are tithers, Lord, they are, and what we do is we go down the line saying all the reasons why God ought to heal them and all the reasons why they ought to be made whole because we're bringing them to them on their credentials. I mean, we don't have to come to God on any credentials of our own. We only come in our own state of who we are. We don't come with any fanfare, any flags, anything that we can present to make ourselves whole. How many know we stand before him, and only because of the blood of Jesus are we made whole, made right. Amen? Hallelujah. I think sometimes we don't receive from God because we think, I'm probably not worthy of it. I got issues. I got problems. Probably God's not even going to hear me when I pray. I mean, no, we all stand on level plane when we call on God. Hallelujah. Now, there are benefits to all of those things, and there are benefits to being faithful. There are benefits to being tithe. There are benefits to all those credentials we want to say, and we'll receive from those things. But how many know when we receive from God, we receive on the basis of who He is, not on the basis of who we are. Hallelujah. Maybe in Naaman's land, when he stood there with his horses and his chariots and his credentials, it made a difference. But he's standing in a new territory right now. He's standing in a new land. He's standing there hopeless and helpless without God. Hallelujah. I mean, we all must come to God hopeless and helpless in ourselves. On anything that we can do, any strength that we have of our own, we are totally dependent on God's voice in our life to bring change to us. Amen? Hallelujah. We are so dependent sometimes on what we can do, what we can cause to happen, what we can make happen. Hallelujah. And so he stands there before God with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. You know, the scripture says some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. How many know horses and chariots are war vehicles? They're war vehicles. And the scripture that's talking about says some trust in horses, some trust in their chariots, but I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. So Elisha sends a messenger. Elisha doesn't come out to the great man, Naaman, the great horse and chariot standing outside his door with all the gold, all the silver, and all the changes of raiment. Elisha says, go tell the man to go down to Jordan and dip 7 times in the river of Jordan, and he shall come again clean. That doesn't seem like too much of a hassle, does it? Cool. I understand that. 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Got that. 7 times dip in Jordan, I'll be returned clean. Seems easy enough to do, right? But Naaman says, verse 11, but Naaman was angry. He was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. This is not how I thought I was going to be made whole. This is not how I thought that this was all going to turn. This is not what I expected for me to be made whole. I mean, sometimes I think our level of expectation gets in the way of receiving what we need to receive from God. He says he was angry. Anybody in here ever been angry with God? I thought God was going to do this. I thought God was going to move this way. I thought God, and we get angry because we think God didn't do it the way we thought it should be done. We got it all figured out. If you had it all figured out before you asked God, why'd you ask him? You done had it all figured out and settled. You got the plan. You got it figured out. But if you're going to ask God to do it, he's going to do it in his way, on his time, at his place, when he sees fit to do it. Hallelujah. And he said, I thought that he would come out to me and he would wave his hand over me or do some kind of something and I would be made whole of my leprosy. I thought he would just wave a magic wand and I would be made whole. Now, let me know, Naaman, God gave command to Naaman to do something. I mean, no, sometimes God gives commandment to you and he's just waiting on you to respond. You don't have to cause the healing to happen, but you got to respond to what he said to respond to. We can stand there all day and say, I thought. Well, you can think all you want to and you're not probably not going to get any farther than I thought. He said, I said, go down to the river of Jordan and dip 7 times. God will not do 2 things. what he's already done and what he sent you to do. I mean, no, there is a responding to God to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to respond to your voice. I don't know how this is going to work. I mean, no, in the scriptures in the New Testament, when the 10 lepers come to Jesus and they said, have mercy on us, Lord, Jesus just simply says to them, go show yourself to the priest and be made whole. And as they went, the scripture says, they decided, they looked down and realized, I am made whole. And before they ever got to the priest, how many know the spots were already removed? It was at the responding to his command, responding to his voice, that as they went, the scripture says, their leprosy was made whole. Sometimes you got to get up and put one foot in front of the other, and you got to respond to what God is saying, I don't know what's going to happen between here and there, but if I get to the priest and I'm not made whole, there must be something there that's going to happen. But as they went in their journey, they were made whole. How many know your cleansing, your healing, sometimes it is instantaneous through the blood, but the things that we're dealing with sometimes in our life are in the journey as we take one step in front of the other and move and respond to the voice of the Lord in our life. We look down and all of a sudden say, hey, I don't have those spots anymore. Hey, I don't have those issues anymore. They've been covered by the blood. The word from the mouth of the prophet has made me whole. Hallelujah. The scripture says, and only one of them came back to say, thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you for sending me somewhere to get healing. Thank you, Lord, for speaking into my life today. But if I'd have sat there, if that man would have sat there before Jesus and said, but I thought, he may still been standing there in his leprosy. See, you can try to argue with God all you want to, but you are not going to win. But you may delay what he's bringing into your life. He said, I want you to go down to the Jordan. I want you to dip 7 times in the Jordan, and you will be made clean, whole, healed of your leprosy. That doesn't seem like a big thing to us. But his response is, verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He's angry. I wanted to go to Abana or Pharpar. I could have dipped in those waters. Why would you send me to Jordan? How many know Jordan is the place where Jesus was baptized? Jordan is the place where Joshua stands on the banks of the river. And God begins to say to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. I want you to know today, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is a new day. This is a new leadership. This is a new generation. This is a Joshua generation. And we're about to cross over a Jordan River. Hallelujah. And he said, when you get ready to cross over, Joshua, I don't want you to take the rod like Moses did and smite the water and cause it to roll back. How many know Joshua did not rule with the rod? Moses ruled with the rod. Joshua, he said, Joshua, I want you to step into the Jordan with a mercy seat. And when you step into the waters of Jordan with a mercy seat, I'm going to cause the waters to roll back. Not just roll back, I'm going to roll back all the way to the city of Adam, and you're going to cross over on dry ground. How many know there is a Joshua generation that's ruling with a mercy seat and not a rod of iron, a rod of correction that's not smiting the waters? How many know they're stepping into a Jordan River with a mercy seat that says, come on and pass by a blood-sprinkled mercy seat and see what God's already done for you. And when you understand what God's already done for you, you're going to walk across your Jordan. You're going to be baptized through the Jordan and understand there's been a way made for you into a promised land. Hallelujah. That was delayed, should have crossed into that promised land a long time before. Amen. They should have been in that promised land, but for an evil report, they were delayed in their journey. Hallelujah. How many know our Jordan is understanding a place of our death, understanding a place of our baptizing, understanding it's a place where the mercy seed rolls back the waters all the way to the city of Adam. He said, I want you to go dip 7 times. The number 7 means the number of perfection, completeness. He said, couldn't I have went to Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus? They're better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. See, what the problem is we all think that the waters everywhere else are better than the waters in Israel. Amen? He said, aren't they better than all the waters rivers in Israel? Try them out. People try the waters out all the time. You find out that those rivers are not any better than the rivers in God's house. Amen? And he turned and went away in a rage. He is angry. Verse 13. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Who's saying it here? His servant. Good chance another one who was carried away in the captivity when they were brought captives from the land of Israel. How many know these two are in a captive position under a great man named Syria, but they're speaking life into Naaman. They're speaking life into their captor, or though what has them held captive and changing situations because of what they're declaring out of their mouth. I want you to know today, you can be in a captive situation, but begin to declare direction and provision and direction in the Lord and cause those things which seem to be your captivity to be turned to your benefit. Well, amen. Let's say that again. How many know sometimes those things that seem to be what is your captivity? How many know these young maidens and these servants could have said, good enough for you. You got leprosy. You brought me here as a captive. You brought me here in this situation. How many know sometimes we act out of those kind of mindsets? But they begin to say, if you only knew the God that we knew. How will you ever share the God that you know if you don't begin to declare your voice even in areas of opposition, even in the areas of captivity, even in areas where it seems like an unfamiliar situation, unfamiliar territory? I mean, know somebody, some little servant girl, some little servant began to lift up their voice and say, I know a God in Israel that will heal you of your leprosy. You can be made whole of this thing. You can be set free. You can be healed if you will allow yourself to respond to the prophet that is in Israel. Hallelujah. And he said, are you really seriously going to walk away from here? If he'd have told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? And he's asked this simple thing of you. If he wouldest thou not have done it, how much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Hallelujah. How many know that's what... What baptism is symbolically understanding that we wash and are clean. Not by the waters of the river, not by the waters that we stumble, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed from all sin and all unrighteousness. Amen? How many know it is the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins and makes us every whit whole, makes us clean. No more spots, no more leprosy, no more afflictions. Hallelujah. How many know? Because we identify with his body and understand that our healing comes only through the cleansing that he can give. Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Said, so he gives in, he goes down, he dips himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Hallelujah. He goes down. He dips. 1, 2, 3. Did he stop at 3? Did he stop at 4? did he stop at 5? How many know it's not just enough to obey God sometimes, or obey God in part? How many know obedience in our life will bring a whole lot of healing to you, will save you from a whole lot of affliction, and save you from a whole lot of trouble in your life? Hallelujah. And so when we are obedient to the voice of God in our life, we will be amazed at the healing that comes because we respond to the command of God in our life. He says he dips 7 times, and when he gets up the 7th time out of the water, he realizes he has been made clean. He has been made whole. Hallelujah. From his leprosy. I wonder what the conversation is when he goes back to the house with the servant and the young little maiden girl. And what is she, what kind of state is she in while Naaman is out with the prophet? I figure if she had the boldness, if she had the strength to say, stand up and say, if you'll go to the man of God, if you'll go to Elisha, you will be healed from your leprosy. Hallelujah. I don't think she sat back in the house doubting, think, boy, I hope this works. Boy, I hope this works. She'd have been surprised if it didn't happen. More surprised if it didn't happen. Hallelujah. She's standing back in the house and said, if you'll respond to the voice of the Lord, there will be healing come to you. How many know things are different in the house when Naaman comes back? They got to be. They got to be different in the house when Naaman comes back and says, I've been in an encounter. I've been in the presence of the God of Elisha, and my spots have been made whole. My spots have been removed. I have been made clean and whole by the presence of God in my life. Hallelujah. How many know when we respond in baptism, what we were saying is, Lord, I am allowing myself to be buried with you in baptism, understanding that it's only through that, through your blood, through what you did at Calvary, that causes me to be made clean, to be made whole, to cause me to be a new creature or new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get to some of the other scriptures today, but I wanted to give you some overview of that. How many know when Jesus is standing on the shore of the Jordan with John, he's preaching, saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but this is a temporary baptism. But there is one coming who is mightier than I, who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When Jesus steps up to the shore of the Jordan that day, John looks at Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is a profound pronunciation, declaration that John makes. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How many know up to that point it was a natural lamb? It was a physical lamb that would have been sacrificed for him. When John makes that declaration, people probably think, what is he talking about? You and I hear that today. We get that. He makes a declaration, says, ladies and gentlemen, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm not worthy to even unlatch his shoes. And Jesus says, let it be done, John, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. How many know Jesus grabs a hold of the hand of John, and old and new come together on the Jordan of the river. John was an Old Testament prophet. Jesus was a New Testament prophet. And when they went into the Jordan that day, when our mercy seat, Jesus, the scripture says that Jesus became our mercy seat. He became our propitiation. When he steps into the Jordan that day, how many know the waters don't roll back, but the heavens roll back? And there's a declaration and announcements from the heaven that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hallelujah. How many know understanding our Jordan experience is what causes the heavens to be open? And the Father's declaration in baptism to you when you step into that Jordan place is the heavens roll back, the Spirit ascends, and the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. How many know you need to know today he is well pleased with you? You need to understand that your baptism and you have the favor of God in your life. He's on your side. He's for you, not against you. Hallelujah. And He has opened the heavens to you, that everything that He has, you have, has been deposited through our mercy seat, who passed through that baptism, who passed through that Jordan for us. Hallelujah. I mean, Naaman had to respond to the command. He had to respond to that. He had to make the first step. Did he make the leprosy go away? Did he remove the spots? No, he didn't. No more than you can. The scripture said, can a leper change his spots? No, you can't. But you can respond to the voice of God. And as you respond to his voice, how many know change comes? Change comes, healing comes, wholeness comes as we respond to our Jordan experience and understand that what Christ did for us on Calvary, his blood, when blood and water flowed from the cross, we have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. If you get a chance this week, read Romans chapter 6. And if you can read it in a message and read it in the other, hopefully we'll get to that in the series that we're doing on baptism. I mean, you know, it talks about us being buried with him in baptism. It talks about leaving the country of sin and coming into dwelling with Christ in a new relationship, hallelujah, through Christ. How many know they had to relearn some things in the New Testament? Hallelujah. They had to relearn some things. They had to understand his death was their death. He had to understand, not only do we understand his death is our death, we have to understand that his resurrection is our resurrection. His new life is our new life. And we have that through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We have that opportunity. We have that provision. Hallelujah. People say, well, can you be baptized more than once? Or, you know, and I talked about this a little bit last week. Anytime you think that you need a reminder to identify yourself with his baptism, go for it. I believe it takes the first time. As long as you understand what you're doing, sometimes people are baptized when they're younger, but they've reaffirmed some things or come to a place in their relationship where they'd like to renew that. If that's what you'd like to do, do that. Amen? But baptism takes the first time you do it. It's an understanding, but it's a demonstration to the person who's being baptized, but also to all of us who are in attendance and observing what's being done. Yep, I was buried with him in baptism. Yes, I was resurrected with him in new life. Yes, I live in him. I live and move and have my very being through Christ. Hallelujah, who strengthens me. And we walk in that and live in that. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a great experience. It's a great opportunity for those, like I say, for those who are experiencing baptism and those who are observing it. Amen. Hallelujah. We had a great time last year sharing in that, and we want to do that again this year. How many are glad your spots are not dependent on you? Amen. That your spots are not dependent on you, but they're dependent on God. And he is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all sin, to remove every bit of iniquity or sin. Those things were taken care of at the cross. Amen. And as we identify with that daily, we identify with his life in us daily. It is the life of Christ in us that brings the healing in our life, that brings wholeness in our life. Amen. That responds. Never think that you're just a little servant girl in the house because you've got a word. Amen. That'll set people free. You have a word that will make people whole. Amen. God bless you this morning.